Luke 2:17 through 20 says, "After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them."
The fifth Advent candle is the Christ candle. This is Christ's birthday. As we celebrate it with him and with all his people everywhere, we hope that we may share in bringing his light into the lives of those around us. Let us pray. O God, we thank you for the wonderful gift of Jesus. Help us, like Mary, to think deeply about what his coming means for us, and like the shepherds, to sing praises because he has come into our world. Help us to spread love, light, and joy in the world by the way we live and by the things we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Infant lowly, for his bed a cattle stall, oxen lowing, little knowing, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Swift are winging, angels singing, Noel's ringing, tidings bringing, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Christ the babe is Lord of all. Flocks were sleeping, shepherds keeping, till the morning new saw the glory, heard the story, tidings of the gospel true, thus rejoicing, free from sorrow, praises voicing, greet the morrow. Christ the babe was born for you. Christ the babe was born for you.
Thank you, Wayne, for that. And now if you would turn to page 160 in your hymnals and stand for "How Glad I Am Each Christmas Eve."
Just say
Christ, we watch and wait for the warmth and light of your presence. As candlelight overcomes the darkness, so your light radiates within us and warms the wintry seasons of our lives. We live with hope that the good news of your coming will warm and brighten every heart, and the world will fall to its knees in joy. Amen. You may be seated. And turn to page 154 in your hymnals, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Hymn number 153, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
Soul. Our first reading is found in Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. As for in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. It will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. For of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The second reading is from Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census would be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
It has been our tradition on Christmas Eve to take a love offering for our pastors from year to year, and we have gifted them in that way. But we are currently without a permanent pastor, and so the council discussed it and made a decision to collect an offering, but to give it to a covenant initiative, which is called FREE. And what that is, it says people who have been marginalized are also being deemed disposable and thus usable for demoralizing purposes with of those with power and privilege. The exploitation of those targeted through sex trafficking continues to attack, marring and harming trafficking victims. The traffickers and the communities where economies of sexual exploitation flourish. The covenant's core identity as Mission Friends is rooted in its desire to seek to respond to God's call in Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do good, seek justice, and encourage the oppressed in our world. As a response to this call, serve globally and love mercy and do justice, which is a department in the covenant, are collaborating through FREE to provide resources to their anti-sex trafficking initiative. And the Covenant Church calls all of us, the entire global church, to pray, learn, give, and act to oppose those evils both domestically and globally. So we thank you in advance for your generosity for that initiative.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these gifts. We're aware, Lord, that that issue is not far from our doorstep either, and we pray that they will be used appropriately and with the goal of relieving, releasing, rescuing people that are in this situation. We pray that, Lord, and we will pray that you will keep us focused. In your name, amen. Hymn number 171, What Child Is This? And 164, Away in the Manger. Christmas Eve message with us.
Before we start, I'd like you to take a look at the manger scene and then drop your eyes just down below it. There's a saying, and we usually use that only for communion, but I just wanted to remind us all that every time we gather together, this do in remembrance of me. We're here because of Jesus. You've heard the theme for the message twice already, so I don't think I'm going to have to read it again. Many different versions say it in different ways. In fact, we've had two different versions say it in different ways. And Mary treasured these things in her heart. And Mary pondered these things in her heart. That may help you with the title for the message, which I agree is a little cryptic. I looked at it and I went, that's not very good. But the word used to refer to what Mary was doing means to weigh carefully before concluding, which means she was taking in the message. And in a second, I'll read that for you. She was taking in the message from the messenger without really knowing fully what it meant. But before we get to that, I want to talk about waiting for the Messiah. Who was waiting for the Messiah? I'm going to draw some parallels here, so please don't get offended. Give me a little grace. The Pharisees were waiting for the Messiah. The Pharisees were the conservative party in Israel. We often think of them as the religious people in Israel. But actually, they were the conservative political party in Israel. The conservative party, the Pharisees, believed basically in the literalness of the Old Testament, and that's why over and over again they were confronting Jesus about little things that didn't mean anything. The Sadducees were the liberal party in Israel. The Sadducees, I think we had someone, yes, who mentioned to us the way you remember Sadducees is because they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's what made them sad, you see. And I think that's a cool way of remembering it. The Sadducees, in fact, believed in Jehovah God. But they believed that he was distant, had no intervention in the affairs of men, except occasionally he would pick out some great leader and motivate them to save Israel and bring Israel into being the most powerful, most glorious nation on planet Earth. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in life after death, even. They just believed when you're done, you're done. There was a third political party in Israel. It wasn't very big. They were called the Herodians. And they were the ones that aligned themselves with King Herod. In fact, every Herod, because there were several. And they believed that if they aligned themselves with the political party of Rome, that they would be able to enhance the position of the nation of Israel in the future. They were kind of viewed as the sellouts. Now, just like in our day, those three political parties did not like each other very much. They were arguing all the time. Then there was another group called the priests. They were the religious practitioners. We would call them today the pastors, the priests in some Christian religions, the hierarchy. Then there was another group called the chief priests. And those were the most important folks. You know, they lived in the palace. They gained all of the favor of Israel because of their positions. A separate group, the Sanhedrin, was a group that was the council. We would kind of think of them as like the president's cabinet or the cabinet to the priesthood, the ones they went to for advice and decisions. Another group, the Levites, were the attorneys. They were the ones, and attorneys on both sides, by the way, so they were always arguing with each other. And then, of course, there were the scribes. They were the students of the Old Testament, the college professors, if you will. If you wanted to know where something was found, you asked a scribe. They hand wrote the Old Testament when they needed copies. Why do I mention this? Because all of them had one thing in common. They were waiting for the Messiah. They also had another thing in common. They were all wrong. Because every single group that I mentioned believed that the Messiah was going to come and make Israel the most important nation on the face of the planet. That was his job. That's what they believed. They missed it. They also had one other thing in common. And that is, all of these groups, even though they hated each other at times, all of the groups I mentioned aligned 33 years later to kill Messiah Jesus. They were waiting for the Messiah. They missed it. And that's why Jesus, when he came in to Jerusalem that last day, said, "Oh, if you had only known the day of your visitation." Sad. But we're going to talk just for a couple of minutes about two people who were waiting for a baby. And you know both of them, Mary and Joseph. Miriam and Joseph, actually. Mary's name in Hebrew was Miriam. Got translated into Mary in the Greek, and we carried it over into our English language. Gabriel visited Mary and gave her a very brief message. And just so you know, Gabriel didn't have wings. Do our angels have wings up here? Oh, I guess I don't see any angels. Gabriel didn't have wings. He was just a man. Angel in Greek means a messenger. And so here this guy comes to where Mary was living. She was probably living with her parents. She was 12 or 13 years old. And comes in through the doorway. They probably didn't have doorknobs and coated locks and stuff like that back then. And so she's just there minding her own business. Now in the sixth month, this is from Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month, and that means the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering. There's that word. Remember what pondering means? To weigh carefully before concluding. Kept pondering what kind of a salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Here's the message, short and sweet. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him name Yeshua." The name we use is Jesus. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Now Mary and Gabriel had a little discussion after that. But I want you to notice what Gabriel said to Mary could be fully in alignment with all of these groups that I just talked about. Gabriel said he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Gabriel said, "And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Sounds just like what all these groups believed. No explanation. That's just all he said. A couple things I want you to notice about that. First, the name, Jesus. That'll be important in a second. The second thing is what's left out. Gabriel does not tell Mary that he's the Messiah. Just tells her he's going to be someone great. Now let's turn to our second person, Joseph. And we have a visit by the same guy, except in a dream. And Gabriel comes to Joseph in a dream, and one of the same things happens, but something different happens. The thing that's the same is he said, "You will call his name Jesus." Separate messages, they both got the same name. You think they had trouble going down the lists of the name to find out what to name him? Perfect agreement. The thing that is different is the angel Gabriel said to Joseph in Matthew, verse 21, "And he will save his people from their sins." There's the real message. That's the message that all the groups that I had mentioned at the beginning missed. Maybe it's good for us to think right now that that message is the same. He came to save his people from their sins. Maybe he didn't come to save the United States of America. Maybe he just came to save people. Ordinary people. So here we are, Christmas Eve, Mary and Joseph have traveled 85 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. She's 9 months pregnant. They probably walked. I know we have pictures of her riding a donkey, but there's no foundation for that. These were two young, poor people who had to go and get enrolled. Even if she rode a donkey, ladies, in your ninth month of pregnancy, no way. So why did Joseph bring her? As head of the household, he could have enrolled her. I wonder why. Well, Mary was pregnant, out of wedlock, we know that, by the Holy Spirit. In the Jewish culture, she now became the worst possible person on the planet. You can think about it. Shunned by her relatives, shunned by her friends. No wonder when she found out. She left and went to visit Elizabeth for 3 months. Get out of town. Joseph, being the godly man and righteous man that he was, I kind of would like to think, was there to protect her. It's going to be a rough trip, Mary, but I can't leave you at home, because the law is you are pregnant out of wedlock, you are stoned to death. Now, they probably weren't doing that at this particular time, but that was the law. And I kind of think that Joseph was a good protector and said, let's just get out of Dodge. It took them about 5 to 7 days for that journey. Well, a couple of lessons here as we close. The first lesson is pretty obvious. If Gabriel comes to your door, listen to him. Now, they didn't know it was Gabriel necessarily. Didn't apparently announce himself. It's just in the record. Didn't say, hi, I'm Gabriel. But here's a message from God. Listen to it. And I believe that God is able to speak to each of us every day. Listen for his voice and say yes. But the thing I think that is most important, and I think true for all of us, is that we don't have all the answers. We believe things about God that if somebody came and asked us, we'd say, I don't know how to prove it. I just believe it in my heart. Do what Mary did with those things. Every time you have a question, every time you have a doubt, do what Mary did. Ponder it in your heart. Don't jump to a quick conclusion. Just leave it settled there. Don't worry. God's going to take care of it. I've lived 75 plus years. Every one of those years, I've had questions I haven't had answers to. I still believe. I know that God is real. I know that Jesus is the Savior. And I know when I get to heaven, some of those questions are going to be answered. But in the meantime, I'm just pondering. I'm just weighing those things in my heart. I want to close with the words to a secular song. Some of you know, I think I've mentioned it before, that I have this bad habit. This bad habit is I take secular songs and convert them into songs with Christian meanings. And the song I think I first heard sung by Celtic Woman: "When I am down, and oh my soul, so weary, when troubles come, and my heart burdened be, then I am still and waiting in the silence until you come and sit a while with me." So the challenge I want to give you over these busy next 24 hours, any point in time you get frustrated or you just think of it, just pause for a second and let Jesus sit with you. Amen. Would you pray with me? Our Lord Messiah Jesus, King of the kingdom of heaven, King of the kingdom of God, King of the kingdom of Israel, King of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Messiah Jesus, and soon coming King of all the kingdoms of the earth, tonight we honor you. We do this in remembrance of you. Amen. At this time, our ushers will come and help to light our candles. It would be helpful, I think, if everybody stood. They'll light from the outside, and then if you would pass the light on to the rest of the folks next to you, that would be helpful. And when you have an opportunity, you can turn to hymn number 172, unless you haven't memorized, "Silent Night."
Thank you. Yeah. just one quiet moment.
His name shall be wonderful. His name shall be wonderful. a child is born.